You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's Monday, December 20th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, still in the lockout, and not a lot of news to report there, other than the big news in baseball, I guess, over the weekend was Buck Showalter being named the manager of the Mets. So he takes over the dumpster fire that is over there at Citi Field. I guess congratulations to Buck Showalter, but really that was of the candidates that they interviewed. I believe former Cleveland hitting coach assistant Matt Cataro was one of the candidates there. He made it to the final round of interviews, but they decided to go with Showalter as the experienced guy, really the only guy who really sort of fits the bill to sort of lead this sort of circus that's out there in New York right now.
Yeah, Joe, you called it a dumpster fire, and Showalter is the fire extinguisher. He's managed in New York. He's managed, you know, three or four different teams. He's taken teams to the postseason. He's a veteran guy. He's a no-nonsense guy. And like we said before, Francisco Lindor is not going to be standing on second base giving a thumbs down to the fans with Showalter as a manager.
All right. And, you know, yeah, I call it a dumpster fire. And that's just because of the circus that sort of surrounds the whole situation. But, you know, you go into it with Francisco Lindor. You know, you've got the polar bear in Pete Alonso. You've got Max Scherzer signing for at least 3 years. So it's not like he's coming into a situation that's completely bereft of talent. This is a manager who's going to get a Cadillac. It's just what can he do with it?
Yeah, really, he's got to be excited about this. You know, like you said, Scherzer, DeGrom, and you've got an owner, the richest owner in baseball, that's shown he's willing to spend. And shown he's, you know, if you're in contention, you know, at the All-Star break, you know they're going to make moves. It's going to be interesting to see how Showalter and Steve Cohen coexist because, you know, Buck is kind of a little bit of a control guy. You know, he likes if the clubbies aren't folding the towels right, they hear about it. So it'll be interesting, but I think this is the guy they need. They, you know, right. There's a lot of talent there and they need somebody that's been around. That's, you just can't be a rookie going into there. Found that out with Mickey Callaway.
Right. And if he's not in contention at the All-Star break, you know, it might be a very short tenure for Buck Showalter there as well. What's the difference between Buck Showalter? Obviously, he's a little older there. Definitely very experienced. What's the difference between the feeling of this hire and, you know, last season's big hire in Tony La Russa to basically take over a similarly situated, Chicago team and you know what he was able to do there?
Yeah, that's a great comparison. I didn't think about that, but you know, we've seen, you know, for the last several years, you know, teams have gone with younger and younger managers, more analytically inclined managers, more guys that the front office can basically control, you know, that they're going to tell, you know, it's a joint project. It's not the manager is the face of the franchise. But La Russa and Showalter kind of face of franchise managers, you know, along with Terry Francona. There's only a few of those guys left. So, you know, maybe that's a trend. I just think you needed some stability there. You needed some experience, and Showalter certainly has that.
Yeah, and you needed somebody like you pointed out that whole situation with the thumbs down message somebody who you're not going to pull that kind of stuff with the personality and the force and the gravitas. That's what, you know, Chicago, you know, thought they were getting with La Russa, and they did to a degree. There were some periods there during the season where it was like, oh, has he lost the clubhouse?
Or, yeah.
You know, were there any questions about that? And I'm sure Showalter will go through the same thing. And in New York, they'll blow up every little perceived slight, you know, who knows, but yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. And, you know, also consider that they've got the defending World Series champions now in their division. And, you know, that's a thing that race, that division now, it was already one that everybody sort of looked to and looked at, and it's going to continue to be that way. Steve Cohen, you throw more money in, you get all sorts of, you know, different sort of calculations and things you have to think about when hiring managers and dealing with all that. So never a problem here in Cleveland, right? Never the richest owner in baseball is never going to be an issue here in Cleveland. It would be a luxury that an issue that we would love to deal with.
Definitely, Joe. That's a little money doesn't hurt, you know, to have some flexibility doesn't hurt. And you'd like to see what Antonetti and Chernoff could do if they, they could do some broken field running here in the free agent market and, you know, mm-hmm. do what they need to do with this club and fill some holes on this club. And because, I mean, when you have money, you don't have to be a genius. You know, you go out and you sign the best guy.
And if you don't sign the best guy, or if you sign the best guy and he doesn't perform, you just pay more money and get the next guy. And then that's what the band-aid that sort of that money sort of, you know, cures things with. It's fun to watch Antonetti and Chernoff, you know, sort of make lemonade out of lemons. Not necessarily, that's not a good comparison. I can't say what I want to say in terms of language, but they do the best with what they have, and it's kind of fun to watch them succeed when they do. As far as making money, we saw the Guardians put out an email, and they said there's an opportunity between now and December 31st for fans to purchase basically the equivalent of an opening day ticket. They've never put opening day tickets on sale sort of this way. We know that the opening day, that first game is always it's usually always a sellout, and you know, one of the best sort of attended games of the year. Right now, as low as $49, you can buy basically the right to pick your opening day seat for March 31st when the Guardians open as their first game as the Guardians.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I guess you know, it's kind of tough to bang the drum during a lockout, but the Indians are doing the best they can. I guess, you know, they put the spring training tickets on sale. Single game tickets went on sale Saturday, and now this promotion. So I think you know, if you're not going to talk about your team, one, you've got to kind of put it out there any way you can to get it in front of the public eye.
Yeah, how do you advertise this? Come see our players. No names, no names yet.
Come no see names, our
players on the field. Yeah. You can't blame them. You're right. They're still a business. They've still taken massive financial hits with this pandemic. And, you know, we haven't even gotten into the whole situation about how this new variant is spreading and, you know, every other league is shutting down right now. Who knows what's going to happen and how it's going to affect baseball. But you can't blame the Guardians for trying at least to be out there and, you know, generating some sort of revenue, because we want them to be able to survive. That's the number one thing.
Definitely, Joe. I mean, hey, you got to think outside the box in these kind of situations, and That's what they're doing.
Speaking of thinking outside the box, you put up a really interesting subtext question, and you put it out there to the readers. Before we get to our prospect of the day, John Kenzie Noel, who we're going to talk about here in a moment, I wanted to run through this with you, just the Christmas gift suggestions for the Guardians. Hoynsey, I really liked it. Your number one gift suggestion for the Guardians, for the front office, a trade that would bring them a bat and can supply 25 to 30 home runs, 80 to 100 RBIs, and can play any position. Boy, just right off the bat, just asking for the sun, moon, and stars. That's like the big gift under the Christmas tree every year for every kid, right?
That's right. The Schwinn bicycle. Let's go. The 10 speed.
What would have been the young Paul Hoynes equivalent to that 30 home run, 100 RBI bat for the Indians? What, growing up, what was that number one gift for you?
My dad got me a pair of boxing gloves one Christmas, and me and my brother proceeded to beat the hell out of each other every day. It was like a fight every day. So I don't know if that was the best Christmas present I ever got, but that's the one I remember the most.
Well, if the two of you were fighting each other, then you weren't getting into too much trouble elsewhere, yeah, right? That's got to be what the philosophy was. Yeah, I think the 25 to 30 home run, 80 to 100 RBIs, boy, that would be the be all and end all Christmas gift of all time for the Guardians. Your number two on that list was for Terry Francona.
Yeah, you know, just have a healthy season and be able to spend 162 games in the dugout and be as healthy as he could be, you know, no more setbacks. After 2 years, I mean, he deserves a turn in luck here.
Yeah, I think a healthy Terry Francona, an active and participating in all media interviews Terry Francona, wouldn't just be a gift for the Guardians. It would be a gift for those who cover the Guardians on a daily basis. I think we all want to see Tito back in the dugout, in the pregame and the postgame interviews, because it's just better when Tito is there. I think we can all agree on that one. Your number three on the list went to the club's former Cy Young winner in Shane Bieber.
Yeah, just you know, a healthy season, a strong right shoulder, and I think if Bieber is healthy, you know, as Bieber goes, so goes, you know, the rotation, and so goes the Guardians. I think, you know, he's reached that kind of status as a you know, starting pitcher and number one pitcher. And you know, I think he only made 16 starts last year. If he makes 30 to 32 starts, you know, the Indians are, I mean, the Guardians are in the right, going in the, moving in the right direction.
All right. Your number four on your list for Guardians Christmas wish list here is for Paul Dolan. Now this one sort of made me think back to the 80s when the Cabbage Patch Dolls were all the rage, and you'd go into the department stores and you'd look down the toy aisles and all the aisles would be just completely bare and empty. Paul Dolan, what's your wish list for Paul Dolan?
Well, I hope he finds a minority owner. And if this guy has the option to buy, you know, perhaps purchase a majority share eventually, you know, I hope this works out, because I know he's been looking, Paul Dolan has been looking for a new owner to replace John Sherman and buy John's shares. And, the more financial stability a team has, the better, you know, they can improve the roster. So it gives you more chances to improve the roster.
Yeah. And I just get the image that I get is Paul Dolan walking down the aisle at Target and all the shelves are bare when you're looking in the department where minority investors and future partners are stocked. I think it's been a long search, and it's one that hasn't really produced much fruit yet. So we'll see. And finally on the list, you throw one in there for Zach Plesac.
Yeah. You know, no other pitcher could be the starting pitcher when your team gets no hit three times in 1 year, other than police act. And I just hope when, if this happens again, he's on the winning side of this thing. The Indians, what, haven't had a no-hitter, a pitcher throw a no-hitter since Large Lenny Barker in, what, 40 years ago. So
40 years. Due. Yeah, it has been a lump of coal every year in the stocking when it comes to no-hitters for the Indians, or for Cleveland since then. So maybe Zach Plesac will change that. He came close in Seattle, man. I thought we were going to have it last year. So last year in Seattle, he was close. It was probably one of the closest that the Indians had last year. So with the exception of Tristan McKenzie's near perfect game. So now we had subtext subscribers respond to that and give us a couple of suggestions of their own. A couple of readers wrote in. A catcher that can hit over 200. So maybe we'll find one of those under the Christmas tree. A summer with fans in the seats. I think that would be definitely. We saw what it was like 2 years ago when there weren't fans. So yeah, I think a summer with fans filling the seats might be even better. Investors are often known as angels. So would this be? Would Dolan's suggestion be maybe a guardian angel? Would that be?
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Total recovery for Josh Naylor. I think that's that is definitely a great Christmas wish, wish list gift. Would love to find Josh Naylor total recovery from his broken leg. Just a horrific scene last year, and to see him progressing is always good. And finally, this one from the 330 area code, I think. A settlement to the lockout. That would be the ultimate Christmas gift. But to wake up Christmas morning, to come downstairs and look under the tree and see Rob Manfred and Tony Clark cuddling together in their Christmas pajamas and everybody having a good old time. I think in harmony and unison, I think that would be perfect. The ultimate holiday wish list right there.
Definitely, Joe. I like that. I like that a lot.
I don't like the imagery that I just created of Manfred and Clark, but we'll soldier on. All right. Really quickly, we want to jump into our prospect of the day added to the 40 man roster on November 20th, and that's John Kenzie Noel. An interesting guy, Dominican third baseman / first baseman. I don't know if he's going to ever play third base for Cleveland. I don't know if he's ever going to play for Cleveland. He's very young, 20 years old, added to the 40-man roster. But the numbers that he put up in the minor leagues last year, despite missing time in June, just completely eye-popping, and let me run through these numbers really quickly and you'll know why he was added to the 40 man ahead of this deadline. And then I just want to get your thoughts on him, Paul. In 265 at bats, he hit .340 with a 1,005 OPS, 19 home runs, 66 RBIs. This guy was definitely getting the job done at the plate. Started at Lynchburg. He was actually started at the Complex League out in Arizona, was at Lynchburg and Lake County. In Arizona, he was doing his rehab. So really, this is a kid who they basically put on the 40 man because of all that potential there.
Yeah, Joe, just really, like you said, an interesting guy, young, 20 years old. Some of the scouting reports I was reading online said he's already had an exit velo up to 119 miles an hour. You know, he's a big pull happy, big pull happy power. He's hit righties and lefties pretty well this past season, .363 against righties, 12 homers, 48 RBIs, .300 against lefties, seven homers, 17 RBIs. And he's also with two outs and runners in scoring position, .385 with eight homers and 25 RBIs. So this guy's dangerous.
Yeah, and really his calling card, his big ticket here is his power and his ability to hit the ball hard. because everything really he doesn't really run the base as well. His feet aren't all that great, and that's why they're looking at him as an option at first base as well. If he can't play third, but really, if you're looking at what he does well outside of hit long home runs, you're sort of looking in a bunch of different places.
Yeah, he's got a good arm. I don't know. I was wondering if you could move him to the outfield possibly. You know, they said they like scouting reports like his arm strength, but if mm-hmm. he doesn't move too well, maybe that's, I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's a factor in this. And right now, he sounds like he's still growing. I mean, 6'1", 180, 190, you know he's going to fill out. I think he's a little bigger than that now, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that's what I think he is getting a little bit bigger. At 180 seems a little bit low. I don't know where the MLB pipeline was getting those numbers, but because from what I've seen on tape, he's actually looks a little stronger than 6'1", 180. Right now, being 20 years old, being on the major league 40-man roster, does and with the positions stacked up in front of him the way they are, is he really a candidate for some sort of trade based on his performance from last year, which is off the charts, and the timing of things? Would he be a prime candidate to be included in a trade to acquire an established outfield bat?
You know, that makes a lot of sense, Joe. I mean, you know, they put him on the 40 man because they don't want to lose him in the Rule 5. But you also, you know, you kind of, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face too, you know, because you start his option clock now. He's only got three options. You only have him really for three more years if he's up and down. So, you know, I guess, you know, if you put him on the 40 man, you know, that means you've got indications from other teams that people are interested in. So maybe that can entice, he's part of a package here that you can bring in an established hitter that you can control for a little while.
Well, and another reason, you don't want to lose somebody who could be a trade asset like that. And maybe if you can move him before the start of the season, before he gets a chance to go back out there and, you know, and show any sort of a drop off from last year, which I'm not saying that that's the case, but right now his trade ceiling has never been higher. His value has never been higher in terms of as a prospect. So they could probably sweeten any deal with a guy like this, knowing that the positions that he plays, they have depth at those positions in the system. I mean, it's not like you've got two or three different guys at the major league level. At least you're not hurting yourself to play first base. Of course, there's a lack of power, throughout the entire system. And that's what you're sort of banking on, is that you can get somebody to play an outfield position and sort of fix that controllable bat, but you'd be giving up somebody who's emerging and developing power, and somebody who, you know, if you wanted to wait 3 years, could be helping you at the major league level then.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, it's interesting that this, Noel is part of that 2017, international free agent class. I'd like to find a guy. All those scouts, that put that class together, because Rocio, Tanya,
Aaron Bracco.
Yeah, Bracco. And a bunch of those guys are all in that class. I think all those guys should get a raise, because these guys are certainly, coming to the surface now. They're populating the 40-man roster.
Right, yeah. If you look at it, that 2017 international draft class, all those guys you mentioned, with the exception of Aaron Bracco, are now on the 40-man. So, and Alex Free Planez is also, I believe, on the 40-man. But
they signed Noel for $100,000 signing bonus out of the Dominican. So, if this kid keeps hitting like he does, that's a heck of a deal.
That's a Jose Ramirez like deal right there. If you
that certainly is. Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, Hoynesy, we're going to wrap it up today's edition of the podcast. We will be back again tomorrow. Only what, four more of these to go before the end of the year. We're going to wrap up on Friday and take a week off after that. We will be back with you again tomorrow on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe.